Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Walker AC Experience for the new month of March. No more Valentine's Day candy. No more celebrating in a drunken stupor. It is March. What's going on with March? I have no earthly idea. We'll figure it out eventually. In the interim, be sure you subscribe to walkerac76.podbean.com. That's walkerac76.podbean.com. Also, hop on over to our website. A website, you may ask? Yes, it's mobile also. WalkerACExperience.com. This is where you can go to our little special made website. We can listen to all of our shows. Right now we're working on expanding it as well. It's a labor of love, but it's all for you. Also, if you want to look on your PC, it's WalkerACExperience.com/mobile. Hop on, read some news and notes, some updates, everything in between. But before I ramble on, let me introduce you to my co-host. He's a man. He's a myth, he's a legend, and he will learn you something every single time we talk. My co-host, my dear friend, Kevin Yu. Hey, Kevin, how's it going, sir?
Speaking of drunken stupors, St. Patrick's Day is coming.
When is St. Patrick's Day? I mean, I'm not really well-versed in that.
It might be this coming weekend or the next. Yeah, you know, any you do. You know, go out and call triple and get drunk and drink the green beer or Sam Outtake or both.
See, I'm not really a big drinker, so none of this stuff really hits me. I mean, are you a drinker or do you just casually drink or are you kind of straight edge like I am?
I'm a lot more of the straight edge type these days because I just don't like how it makes me feel. But, you know, I can be convinced to have a beer or two. It all depends. I think it'll be fun to do something for St. Patrick's Day. It is, you know, a celebration of another culture. Another culture like that, where, like, we don't know anything about your culture, but we're going to celebrate it in a weird, stereotypical way.
Yeah, so we're going to celebrate, you know, St. Patrick's Day, and we don't know the backstory, but all we know is we're going to drink, we're going to dress in green, and we're going to pinch each other for not wearing green. That's kind of odd. And that's really harassment, but no, that's things are different nowadays, so we don't do that. Also, I'd like to congratulate you and Jeff on another successful edition of Cereal and Beer. If you guys haven't listened to it yet, go back to walkerac.com and listen to the show. It is a good, tremendous hour plus. And, yeah, so hopefully, you know, you and I can recreate that magic. I highly doubt it, but I'm going to try. But other than that, St. Paddy's Day, so let's jump into some topics, shall we?
We down.
So like we talked about off air, just a couple things I'll talk about and we'll switch it over to you, a couple topics here and there. We'll try to keep it light, you know, but once again, we'll try to solve a world problem because that's what we do, Kevin. We are legends here, truly, truly legends. So getting into it, do you think, and we'll kind of bounce back and forth, do you think with the way we are as a society and all the good stuff that we do, you know, there are some good things that we do for people other than, you know, wind up online doing some heinous stuff. Do you think we die with clean hands? Meaning, no matter what good you do, someone will always dig up something on you. What do you think about that?
Well, I've heard it put in a recent show that I've seen of that. The difference between a hero and a villain is the marketing. And I'm like, guess. And that the way you're portrayed will be sometimes beyond you. And everybody has done something questionable in their life. If you haven't, what is it like? What's it like to like lead such a Mary Sue type of existence? And there's so much moral gray in the world. And that we all tend to justify our own actions, and I do notice a lot of us, we'll always see ourselves as a victim in things, and it takes more to think that you have a role and responsibility in things. So, in a way, the quick answer to that question is yes. We will die with dirty hands. Because we don't know the full extent of our actions. It could be the butterfly effect, you know? Like, I just threw a banana peel on the ground, and then the guy fell, and he broke his arm, and he couldn't, you know, save the world that way, and it was all 'cause that dang banana. So, you know, in general, it is an ideal to be completely virtuous all the time. It's almost a childish belief when so much of the world is neither A, not A nor B, but we live in the gray. And it's when I view people, when I see people who just break down things to such a simplistic moral argument, it's a moral virtue, a moral failing, it's just so naive to me that, or it's willful ignorance. It's like, do you truly believe that? Do you truly believe that, well, that you can break things, decisions, and beliefs into such a simplistic black and white thing? I don't think that's reasonable. How about you?
I do think we die with clean hands. And I'll get into it a little bit. I mean, yes, we can differentiate, you know, between what's right and wrong, you know, you murdering somebody or you stepping on a bug. Or you stepping on a blade of grass. I mean, that can be, you know, considered as doing something wrong and evil. And the reason why I asked this question, before I go back to my original answer, is that you look at politicians. You know, you see what they can do. They go back and forth, you know, with their debates. And they always point out the negative things they do. And you finally get someone in office, then all of a sudden, all their dirty laundry comes out. Or someone finds something that they've done 20 years ago, or they throw out the banana peel, which caused a car to slip on the road and kill a gaggle of nuns. You know, just something like that. No matter what good you do in this world, someone's going to discover something bad about you. Now, whether the extent of it, of course, is up for debate, but I still do think, you know, that a person can be halfway decent and still die with clean hands. It's just, it'll be very few and far in between. And using an example of Bill Cosby, for example, you know, he was America's father figure until they decide to dip into his past and see the things that he'd done back in the 60s and 70s, which in that extent of that particular time wasn't a big deal. Not to downplay people, but it wasn't a big deal at that time until nowadays with 2022, 23, 24 eyes, it was deemed as evil. And of course, he paid his penance for it. But so my question is, if something like that hadn't come up, would he still be considered one of the good guys? And that's my question to you. I mean, would he be, or would they still would have dug something up on him, for example?
It's still possible to dig it up. Like, posthumously, like Michael Jackson, for example, you know, that's a complex case, you know, like, it has a lot to it. Or just other historical figures. You know, you learn after the fact about, you know, the full extent of them, like Thomas Jefferson. And I just don't think, there's no such thing as an angel, and there's no such thing as a demon. It's too simplistic. Like, we're a product not only of our environment, but also our DNA, and we, you know, some choices are easier to make than others, and sometimes we do it for completely irrational things. Like, sometimes we hurt people, you know, for ridiculous reasons, or sometimes we do not good things for the wrong reasons, like self-promotion. So I just don't think it's wise to have just paint people with broad strokes, you know. Something that was interesting to learn, that, like, there was a Netflix series that talked about people who went to prison for murder. It was called I Am a Killer, and it was interesting to kind of see the underlying theme that every single one of these people viewed themselves as, you know, lost my train of thought, but it's just something that yeah, like, monsters make monsters, and, like, none of them had a story where, like, oh, I was born evil, I like to hurt people, I like to do wrong. It's just they grew up in bad situations, that they were, you know, victims of abuse themselves. it's interesting to note that, you know.
Is there still that metric of a right and wrong, without trying to get too far from the topic? But when we die with dirty hands, I mean, do you think, you know, society figures out what was right or wrong? I mean, considering, once again, looking back, and I'll keep using that example, Cosby, for example, not sticking up for him, people. Back then, what he was doing in that era was considered okay. But now, decades later, it was deemed as wrong and evil. What you do today, Kevin, we do our podcast. You know, we make jokes and stuff like that. Fast forward 10 years later, somebody, some committee or some company go, you know, Kevin said something about you know, Panda Express. And Panda Express is really popular now. It's taken over the world. So we're going to hold him accountable for it. We're going to cancel him. I mean, would that still consider you dying with... You know, with dirty hands? I know this is very far-fetched, and that's a very horrible example, but you kind of get the gist of what I was saying.
Yeah, I mean, I've said and done incredibly stupid and I dare almost say, unfortunately, malicious things, and I need to answer for that, and I do. So sometimes more consistently than not, I will not die with clean hands. I know that for sure. Because that's just how life is. But, it's also kind of like, you know, there are things that, it's kind of like, there are things that are, or, you know, it's down to the individual, but then there are things that are ideas that are greater than us. Like, as a society, we can agree that maliciously torturing people is wrong, right? But then when we break it down to the individual level, it's like, you know, are you going to help this friend or that friend? Then it's more personal. I mean, I would imagine that I would make the statement that, like, what Cosby did to those women, to his life, it's always been wrong. I think it to me, like, that doesn't seem like it's up to a question, or like even like it's not time sensitive. I think it's been wrong and always has been wrong, you know. And it's easy to say that now, sure, and it's easy for me to say that at this point in my life, and maybe, you know, maybe as a younger, more toxic person, I wouldn't feel that way. And so it's just a lot, I think it's just a lot, it's unfortunately it's a lot less satisfying to say that thing, you know.
So here's one final question to you. Is, we talk about dying without clean hands or dying with dirty hands. How far is it before someone is forgiven about doing a heinous act? Or how far can someone dig into someone else's past to bring up dirt, to actually, you know, put dirt on their name? So say, for example, if Kevin Yu is a politician and he's 40 years old, but somebody digs up something he's done that he did at 19 years old, can he still be held accountable for that? Can that be punishable? If he's stolen something from a store or laundered money or stolen a car back when he was 19, can that be dug up and used against him when he's in his 40s?
I think that's something that needs to be talked about in society, because we have a new medium where things can live on, be, you know, forever. And I think that's actually a discussion that needs to be had. Like, when do we forgive people? When do we invest ourselves into investigating, and also when to divest ourselves from things? And it's easy for the mob mentality to form. Think, oh yeah, you are everybody said you're wrong, so I'm gonna grab my pitchfork and torch too. Like, for example, for those of you that remember the incident at the Boston bombing, that Reddit decided to play detective and went and accused one kid who was, you know, Arab American. That kid killed himself. And what, you know, what happened to the people on Reddit that harassed his family, harassed him? Nothing. And like, everybody got into that, like, mob mentality and, like, went after the kid. And so it's dangerous to fall into that. It's easy. It's easy to go along with hysteria. It's, you know. So we, I think as a culture, we do need to talk about issues of forgiveness. And I still think that, like, it's gray. Different shades of gray out there in the world. Convenient to just label somebody as good or bad.
Well, I mean, they're always, you know, the saying, just like you said, the shades of gray. But these days, nowadays, in this particular generation, I find it rather odd because, once again, I'll make that joke, I'm that old man screaming at clouds, and there's certain things I don't understand, to where you can be in the prime of your years in your 40s, and all of a sudden, there is a tweet that comes up when you were 20, or someone digs into your history, and they bring up something, and then they cancel you for it. You know, which makes me wonder, once again, what is a period of forgiveness? What is a period of, well, you know, I said something stupid at age 19 about a certain group, and now I'm 45, and it comes back, and I have to apologize for that all over again. And that's something I really don't understand, really don't agree with. But it's all part of the times. You know, it's all part of the generation, how things change and alter. So it all goes back to my original question. You know, do we die with clean hands? Or, once again, is it just a generational thing?
I don't think this is a generational thing at all. I think this is just humanity. And that with new technology, we have it. We have the same problems, but with a different flavor. And just like scandals pop up, you know, back in the day. Something as simple as Dan Quayle, you know, making gaffes. Or other things, such as, let's just say, who was that old-timey comedian who turned out to be a, incredibly toxic to women. Anyways.
Andrew Dice Clay?
No, before that. Much before that. Like, Patty Arbuckle. We're talking, like, real old.
Well, that I'm not too sure.
Oh, that's like super old. Like, that's where, you know, our parents were born. But anyways, it's like, and also, it's funny how people use the word cancel when it's more about accountability. And that when we are able to take accountability fully for our mistakes, I think that speaks to our character. But then there are some people who cannot do that. Not to get into politics, but there's one specific politician that I believe will never accept any criticism or self-reflection because of the way they were brought up, and to see, you know, apologizing as a weakness. I think that's horrific. I think that's a poor moral character. But here we are. We're in an age. Well, no. Humanity has rewarded sociopathy, stepping over people to get what you want. I think that's crazy that we as a species have not addressed that fundamental flaw of our nature. And I just think it's the same, you know, as Shakespeare once wrote, nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, I think it's easier for people to point the finger and go, this person did this to me, and you know, it's his fault or her fault, or rather than taking that one brief moment, and I think I mentioned this before, to look in the mirror and go, well, maybe I had a part in it too, or maybe it's actually my fault, because accountability is scary. Accountability is extremely scary to go, it's my fault, I'm sorry, or I did this to cause this effect to this person's life or these people's lives. Accountability is an extreme rarity. And in the news and in media, you rarely, rarely see it. Because like I've stressed about so many times before, it's so easy to talk about the bad stuff versus the good stuff. To have someone come on television, for an example, like a politician, as you would say, come on TV and go, it's my fault. I said A, B, and C, and D. I did this policy. I shouldn't have done it. It's my fault. That's boring. It's easier to go, well, it's this person's fault because they're a, you know, they're a Democrat, they're a liberal, they're, you know, such and such a thing. And to point the finger at the other person, it causes that drama. It causes that intrigue to go, well, what did they do? Please tell me what they've done. Versus saying, okay, well, what did you do? Or what, you know, what was your part in this? Because once again, when it comes to this misery and sadness and self-destruction and everything, that sells. First, prefer accountability and looking into that mirror.
And I just find that it's easier to attack a person than the idea. You have to have a lot more nuance and a lot more understanding to attack idea. It's a logical fallacy. It's the ad hominem attack to attack your opponent and not your idea. And it evokes a more visceral reaction. Be like, this guy, he kicked a cat, you know? It's easier to do that rather than to think, oh, he voted on this policy that, you know, or like, oh, he voted for the Iraq war, you know, like that. So that takes more nuance and understanding rather than just character assassination.
Well, it's so much easier. Well, so much easier to do it. Because if you really think about it, think about two friends having a debate. And when one person is quote unquote losing the debate, your defense mechanism kicks up. You know, and a more lesser, I don't want to say weaker person, but the person who can't handle the accountability, who can't handle, you know, the agony of defeat, they instantly attacks the person's character. And we see it on presidential debates like we did a couple of years ago. You know, when your point is being made. We're seeing it right now. You know, and it really speaks. It really speaks to people, you know, because you're like, okay, well, this is my point. This is my logical point. And then once a person gets to that point where they can't have a debate anymore, they're going to argue. And they're going to say, well, Kevin, your feet smell. What does it have to do with the argument at hand? Well, I'm just saying your feet smell. Really doesn't matter. Your feet smell. And they're going to go, ooh, well, maybe his feet does smell. Kevin's feet smell? Yeah, I think it smells. You know, and that just distracts from the, you know, from logical, logical argument. And I've had debates with multiple people various times, and I've won some. I lost a whole lot. It's just entertaining to see where they attack your character, you know, once they can't make any more points. And I just think that's just something, that's like a natural instinct, that, you know, inside of somebody. I know I've done it, you know, in my younger years, where I couldn't hold an argument to save my life. And I just went into defense mode, and that was part of my weak self doing it, you know, because I couldn't handle the agony of defeat. I couldn't handle the accountability for it. And I think it's really odd that even at older stages of people's lives, they still can't hack it. And they still can't have regular debates. They can't have logical conversations. You know, they can't take accountability for their actions, and all of a sudden you get personal attacks just out of the blue.
Well, it's also a very difficult thing to divorce your sense of identity from your idea. It's really hard because the way we view ourselves, like, okay, I believe in this so much. You know, it could be any hot topic. It could be gun control. It could be abortion. It could be religion. It, you know, it could be a sports team that you like. And you identify with, you have such a strong affinity for it that people cannot see themselves outside of that idea. So naturally, they will feel it as a personal attack. Kind of like when I say, like, I don't like country music. Some people love because they're those fighting words. But I'm like, and then I have to say, like, I don't like country music. I didn't say you didn't like country music.
Well, Kevin, I don't like Star Wars. Sorry.
How dare thee? I challenge you to a laser pistol duel. I will be Greedo and shoot first.
Wow. See, great reference. Nobody's going to get that reference. Nobody's going to get it. Pause the podcast, people. Here. Google it. But see, we talk about that. We talk about integrity. We talk about accountability. And I kind of glossed over integrity a little bit because I kind of wanted to switch gears, but we're going to go back to this one. We talked about off-air, talked about integrity. And do you think this particular generation itself, with everything that's going on and with social media and whatnot, people are not putting their integrity first? And what I mean by that is when you see, you know, people doing risque stuff on OnlyFans or dressing up, you know, sexual on TikTok and doing dances or going on Facebook or any kind of social media and just exploiting themselves without thinking about the long term. Do you really think that damages their do you think that it damages their integrity, especially later on in life when they look back at stuff like this? Do you think they'll have any kind of remorse for what they do or chalk it up as to, oh, well, it was an experience?
Again, I don't think anything has changed. You know, people back in the day, they did what they had to do, or they thought it was right at the time. And not necessarily at all. Sometimes people say, like, yeah, I did that, and I don't regret it. It's interesting. I got into a new podcast where two women are posting it. It's about, like, other women and their women's rights and women's wrongs. I thought that was funny the way they said that. And one of them is a adult content creator. And, you know, she had a professional career before that. And she seems to be completely unapologetic about her past in life. I think that's great. And also, like, it changes. What was true to ourselves at one stage in life will not necessarily be true to ourselves in the future. And that's okay. And also, I think in the culture we have now, we're more promoted. Like, there are more people who are invested into thinking for themselves and what really resonates with you. Thinking about mindfulness and self-care. These terms that were not, you know, may have existed for a while, but were not brought into the forefront of culture and conversation. And so I think the integrity is still there because we're all kind of selling out to everybody. You and I come from an age where, like, in the 90s, where it's like, it's all about authenticity. It's all about, you know, how real you are to it all. And you end up compromising in little ways. And sometimes you have to. Sometimes it's impractical to, you know, be so stringent in things. And I heard a story about Abraham Lincoln lately, and how he was very strong in his moral belief to be against slavery, but he also was a pragmatist. He also knew he had to play ball with people who were practicing slavery, not because they thought it was the cool thing to do, but because of their environment, because, like, that's what you have to do. And he was great because he managed to be able to balance both his moral belief and also the pragmatic compromises. Because in the podcast, they talked about the Emancipation Proclamation, and people usually don't delve into that document. And they pointed out that it was pointed at the states that were not in the Union, and it was more of a moral declaration rather than a legal declaration, and that was all strategic. Tell people, like, you have a, like, the Union has a vested interest. Because for every slave they lose, we gain an ally. It's very interesting to know that there's so much nuance to these things, and that it's a tricky thing to have integrity to your beliefs, but also to be pragmatic about it all.
I see, to an extent, I can agree with you to an extent, to touch on the sex worker that she briefly mentioned about. I am more of a work smarter, not harder kind of person. Or if you want to work hard, you know, it pays off in dividends for the rest of your life. Stuff like that, that's fast money, slow problems. Because you are working with a time-sensitive thing, which is your body, for example. There's only so much you can do for a certain period of years Then after that, what's next? You know, what foundation do you have? What stable foundation do you have after that? You know, and I believe morally, that's not the best thing. But once again, I'm not hating on people who are going for money, because obviously, you know, as evil as money is, it's something that's definitely needed to, you know, to sustain a comfortable life. This is what we all work for. We just all have different ways and means of getting it. And that one particular mean, yes, it works for you as a person, but it compromises your integrity, and that thing kind of lacks accountability. And what do you have after looks fade? And what do you have after that? I don't think most, not all, I don't think most people look at the long term. And that's one of the things that was ingrained in me as, you know, as a child. Back then, way back when, you know, when there were actual rotary phones, you know, you talk about the long term. You talk about work that will sustain you for many years to come. Are you creating, you know, your own work that will sustain you for the longest time, not just something fast and easy that will compromise your morals, that will compromise the way society looks at you, that compromises your value as a person, just to get the fast buck and not really worry about the future or how society views you.
Sometimes I think integrity is almost a luxury. I think sometimes we forget there are people that they do what they have to do to survive. Sometimes a quick buck is the only buck to make. Sometimes it's a smart move to make. I remember there was an adult performer in the late 90s, and she was smart enough to be in Mensa, so she just did the calculations, like, she was a computer scientist, and it's like, if I do get into the film, adult film industry, I can make so much more money with so less effort than being a computer engineer. So she went with her path. I'm like, I don't blame her at all. But you, is it all makes sense? And I do think that, you know, it's easy to point our finger at people, like, how dare you do this? How dare you sell drugs? How dare you, you know, you cheat and, like, I don't know, gambling? But sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. We forget out there are child soldiers. We gotta, you know, right now there are people who have to, they're literally eating, like, livestock feed to survive. And when you have never faced that situation, you know, it's easy to play, play judge, jury, executioner, be like, how dare you do that when you don't know what it's like out there?
Well, of course. I mean, of course, you know, we judge everybody. Everybody judges everybody. But my whole thing is, you know, not to get a heated debate like, you know, presidential candidates.
Sure.
You know, it's just that there are always more options. Once again, how you make your money is how you make your money, because you have to look out for number one. You have to. That's just the way life is. You know, but once again, my bone of contention is that you look at the long term. Because yes, I mean, a person with that much intelligence obviously can work hard and set themselves up for the future versus taking that quick buck and doing something adult. You know, so, because once again, you do have to look in that mirror at the end of the day, I hate that phrase, and and go, I did A, B, and C, and, you know, push my morals to the background and push my self-worth to the background to make that quick buck versus being a hard-working member of society and building up a legacy. But once again, that's just me.
Well, it is. Yeah, I think it just, unfortunately, it comes down to each person, and that, yeah, you do have to face yourself. I do have to think sometimes you gotta, you can't let the world beat you down, because they weren't there with you. They weren't there with you when you're bouncing your check. They weren't there with you when you were hungry. They weren't there with you when your child, you know, is in need. What is their judgment worth to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, you gotta do what you gotta do sometimes. And I think sometimes people have to forgive themselves for what they've done. Because, like, as long as they learn from it, be like, that was a dark time in my life. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there's only some obvious choices that weren't great choices out there.
And to a point, I can agree to a point, but once again, I can respectfully disagree with that. And that's one of the good things about having this kind of conversation, because you and I are adults. Sure. And we have these natural conversations without attacking each other. And, you know, Kevin, your feet smell. So, but no, anyhow, we're going on to the another topic here.
Well, that was the whole point of not wearing socks. I wanted to do
this way. Ha-ha. See, Kevin, that was my finishing move right there. That was my finishing move. Harking back to the old show, people. Look it up. But do you have any topics? Do you have any topics in mind?
Let's see. Okay, let's take it lighter. speaking of old things, were there any fashion choices that you've made that you are have a hard time forgiving yourself for?
Growing up financially unstable, growing up poor. I had to wear bell bottoms, hand-me-down clothes, shirts with button-up collars. I had to wear, oh my goodness. Yeah, I remember walking into my class the first day of seventh grade with like Walmart shoes, pants that are two sizes too big for me, and like this humongous red shirt. Yeah, it was horrible. I sat down, the kid looks at me, he goes, yeah, your mother's gone, you can unbutton your shirt now, it's okay. And I'm like, ooh, it was bad. Just that we were not financially able to have the good name brand clothes. Because once again, when you walk into school, it's all about your presentation. It's all about the first impression. And I made a bad first impression. So yes, bell-bottoms. Aww. Bell-bottoms and a hand-me-down shirt. That was my thing. What about you?
Let's see. Some fashion choices that I was like, I don't know. One time I decided, like, you know what would be a good hair color? Silver. So I dyed my hair silver. I'm like, I just look old. And I just cut off all my hair. So that was a bad one. Do you have any, you know, choice that you made that were, like, conscious choices, you know, not because of circumstance?
You know, I tried really hard to have an afro, and, see, it was a bold thing, because I had humongous Coke bottle glasses, which didn't go with anything, and then I had an afro, which I thought was pretty cool, but no one told me, and I didn't figure this out until the very last minute. I had a dry scalp, so yes, it was like a winter wonderland in my afro. It was great. So every time I'd move my head, yeah, you talk about head and shoulders, dandruff, yeah, there we go. That definitely drove the girls wild. So after that, it was short hair. It was short hair, almost bald all the time because, yeah, I had really bad dandruff. I had really bad dandruff, humongous glasses, a poor styling clothes, and I wonder why I couldn't get a girlfriend. I'd rather have the silver hair, Kevin, than the big dandruffy afro.
Maybe we can try the afro again. That'd be fun.
No, I think I'm too old for that.
I don't know, man. I don't know. You may be able to pull it off pretty well. So that'd be kind of fun.
See, if I get an afro, you go silver. I would definitely do that.
Let's start Patreon, everybody. We're going to have a goal. We hit it. You know what's going to happen, everybody.
Oh, that'd be really scary. Oh, and yeah, just one more for you before you continue. What was your first failure at getting a date? What age was that?
Oh boy, I would say finding a prom date was pretty rough. I had to ask five girls until one girl finally said yes, and she was cool. And then she ended up like that was my junior prom. And the senior prom, she ended up going with my other friend. And I think they were like, together. I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel good. But yeah, that was my first foray, and it was nerve-wracking. And every girl said, maybe. I'm like, oh, the polite no. Okay.
Well, I had a prom date. Had a prom date. She canceled. Well, she canceled 2 days before the prom. So, oh, yes. So what did I do instead of getting butt hurt and voice and my frustrations? I went to work. I went to work at a movie theater with my polyester pants, my polyester vest. Yes, I went to work and made money that night. It was horrendous.
Nice.
But, yeah, but the funniest thing is she never spoke to me again after that. We had a couple classes together. It was tremendous. But, yeah, so dating was not in the cards for me. I was not what you call aesthetically appealing to most people. So, yeah, dating didn't happen until way after high school. Now, was Kevin you a chick magnet, or are you kind of low-key?
Nah, I just felt that first of all, I don't think I was in the right environment for that, because it was like a small conservative town, and one of them colored people, it was harder. And number two, I don't think I had fully developed confidence that's necessary to overcome that. So it's partly my own nature and partly the environment. And I can forgive that. I'm not gonna be like, stupid high school. Even though it's fun to say stupid high school.
I had to grow into my face for people to like me before they start liking me. And I had to be more intelligent. There's an old joke, the uglier you are, the smarter you have to be to get a date. And I think I read a lot of books, watched a whole lot of stand-up comedy, and I was a funny kid. But no, that only got me so far. So I had to wait until I grew into my face, to have a date. I think that was in high school, maybe after high school, I'm not too sure. God, now I need therapy, Kevin. Thank you. But other than that, what else you got as we wind down here?
Let's see. Since we're talking about fear, how do you feel about facial hair? Would you ever grow a mustache?
I'm unable to do that. My dad had one, but I'm unable to do so because I would look like some weird 70s, Fat Albert character. Always wanted one, but I always preferred a beard. Still can't grow that one, folks. Puberty, wonderful thing. Now, would you rock a mustache?
I mean, it's not impossible. I'm one of the minority of amongst minorities of Asian men that can grow a beard. And, I keep the facial hair around because I can't get 100% clean shaven. So rather than endlessly try to struggle against it, I'm going to embrace it. So I'm going to do that. So it's kind of fun to have that around, because I've had, my male counterparts like, oh, wow, you can do that. I'm like, yes, I can. Ha-ha. Like, see, my beard and my mustache could connect for a week or two.
Now, see, I'm jealous. Now, for all of the females listening to this show, all 12 of you, this is no big surprise here that my facial hair grew in patches. Now, my son can grow like a beard like nobody's business, but no, lucky me, I can't. It grows in patches, so I shave my face. I have that little 90s goatee thing going on. Drives the girls wild. But I can never grow the full beard as much as I wanted to. And I'm not too sure if I had enough testosterone in me or not.
Well, it's nice to have the big boss man. Don't need to have the Hulk Hogan.
It was a great thing. But as we wind down here, if you have anything else after your topic, we'll head on over to rants, sir. What else you got for me?
Topics, huh? Okay. I'm really hungry. So what is always like your snack of choice, when it's late night?
Oddly enough, and most people resonate with this, I go for cereal. It's something something light, something easy, not too heavy when you're trying to go to sleep, so you don't wake up hacking with acid reflux or having to run to the bathroom or anything. I go for cereal, I go for oatmeal. Because, when you get hungry late at night, don't go for chips. Don't go for cookies, don't go for burgers, don't go for none of that stuff because your stomach's going to hate you. And, it's a very quick way to gain some weight. So yeah, I go for a bowl of cereal, just something really easy. And or if I get deathly hungry and I know I'm going to bed soon, I down a bottle of water. I know, lame and cheap, I know. But what about you?
I am partial to ramen. Like, if I just don't want the noodles, I want some other stuff with it. You know, so, you know, my co-host, it was, you know, we've had late night ramen in Japan, and it was really good times. Definitely not great for you, but it was, like, a really nice thing to have at night. And it's hard to resist eating at night, because that is an easy way to pack on the pound. So, it's nowadays, like, I'll just have, like, almonds or whatever, and, you know, water or, you know, flavored water, if I want something like that. So it's trying to make healthier choices and be a little more consistent. So, kind of like that.
Ramen. Interesting. Now, I haven't had ramen in a very, very long time. And definitely eating that at night, huh? Okay. Let's dip into that for a couple seconds here. Now, we make your ramen. Do you add anything to it, or just the hardcore sodium-filled little packet?
Oh, I want some real deal ramen. Like, here's a pro tip, everybody. The packages of ramen are not made equal. Sometimes they're better than they're worth. I like the ones in the plastic bowl. You gotta go to the Asian supermarket for those. Or you go to, like, a ramen shop. That's where you get the real stuff. And it's so good. So, Adrian, next time you come down, we'll go to a nice ramen shop and you will experience another level of deliciousness.
Now, see, I heard there was a ramen shop, but, you know, which once again raises my ignorance. I'm used to, and people will agree with me, shrimp, beef, and there's one more other generic flavor of ramen. With a ramen shop, what could you possibly do with ramen? I mean, you have to add stuff to it, obviously, but are there like a plethora of different flavors to it, or I'm kind of curious.
Of course. You've got, like, your pork base, you've got a miso base, you've got spicy miso, you've got, like, a black garlic base, you can add different veggies and different meats, and the proof will be in the tasting. So, you know, once they'll take you, then you give a nice report to the people.
Now, I was always told that ramen's bad for you because it's a brick of noodles. You boil and you put the nasty, you know, sauce in and stuff like that. But yeah, there is a ramen shop in Orlando, I believe. And it's...
Well, more than one.
Yeah, it's really popular. And I've always wanted to try it, but I was always taught for so many years that ramen's bad for you.
Well, it's not, like, gonna be great for your heart. But again, if your knowledge of ramen stops at top ramen and cup of noodles, then you are missing out on the much better quality stuff.
Well, then it's official. I need to go to the ramen shop. And for that now, I think it's time for ramen. I think it's time for shout-outs. What shout-outs you got for us, sir?
Okay. So my shout-out go to... My shout-outs go to a good ginger beer. I love ginger beer. It is one of my indulgences in sugar. I like my spicy, I like my sweet. I like a brand called Hendrix. That's really good. And sometimes I go to bars and just have that instead of alcohol. You can go to your local Total Wine or your BevMo's or whatnot and get yourself craft ginger beer. It's pretty delicious. Or even go to Trader Joe's and get the triple ginger ale. It is delicious. So yeah, shout out to ginger beer.
I tried beer once when I was a little kid. And my mom used to have her beer sitting on the table. And from what she would tell me, I used to run up and grab her beer and sip it and put it back without her knowing. One day, I grabbed a beer and I tilted it and all the beer went up my nose. And of course, being a kid, what do? You cry and you sniff, which made it so much worse. So I guess this is how I got my not necessarily a phobia, but a weird reaction to carbonation. I can't drink soda. I can't drink anything with carbonation because it literally burns my throat. I tried soda once when I was 12 years old. I didn't like the taste. I never drank it again. I haven't drank a soda, never drink another beer, I guess. And yeah, nothing with carbonation. You know, so people look at me weird when they go, you never tried like Sprite? No. Coke Zero? No. Any kind of products like that? Never touched. Just never had a taste for it. Yep.
Interesting.
Yep, it's all part of my being a nosy kid when I was about 3 years old. So thanks, Mom, for leaving your beer hanging around. Horrible parent. No, I'm kidding. my rant goes about old age, Kevin. Old age, you know, always looked at my parents or my older relatives who get up and make that groan noise when they get out of bed. Always kind of laughed about that. I'm like, oh, come on, you're not that old. You should be making that noise. You should be have all the energy. And now I wake up and I bend and I stretch and I groan. You know, I mean, it sounds like a really, really bad porn star when I get up. It's horrible. And I find myself wanting to take naps and relax more. I mean, as a kid, you have so much energy. You want to run around and bounce around. And you never wanted to get tired. You always fought it. Now when you get older, you love being tired. You always want to sleep. You never want to get up and move around. Unless you really, really have to. So yeah, my rant's about being old. It's not a fun thing. And I know people out there are going, oh, you're so curmudgeon-y about your age. Yeah, I know. But I don't feel 40. It's 47. Oh, good Lord. I don't look 47. Soon to be turning 48 in April. Get your gifts ready. I got my wish list ready. But turning 48, I don't look it, I don't feel it, and I still have a ton of energy, I still do things, and I still work out and stuff like that. It's just interesting to see the people that you used to go to school with that are your age, and they look like 50 times older, because they've been smoking like a chimney, or they have so much sun, they turn orange, or they drink so much, they look like meth face and stuff like that, where I still look the same as I did back in, you know, grade school, just a few pounds heavier and a few grayers here and there. So, yes, I blame old age for it. Plus, I blame you, Kevin, because this is a debate, so I have to, you know, attack you personally. So I definitely blame you for it.
Well, you know, I do control the flow of time.
So this is what we do. We just solve world's problems. So next we're going to solve old age, Kevin. This is what we're going to do. And now as we top off the show here, do you have any shout-outs for us?
Oh, another one?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, we did rants. I'm sorry.
My rant, not enough shout-outs. There needs to be more. Why are people shouting out enough? Bunch of angry.
Well, yes, I do have a shout-out. Thank you. I have a shout-out for the Cereal and Beer podcast that just got released a couple weeks ago. If you haven't listened to it already, please listen to it. It's very informative. It's very fun. It's a hodgepodge mix of topics and rants that Kevin and Jeff go on about. It is, of course, hilarious. It is under WalkerACExperience.com page. Look it up. There's little notes on the bottom saying what to look out for. So I give a special shout out to them. And I give a shout out to a podcast I've been listening to. It's called The Poor Man's Podcast. Talks about just life, talks about situations, stuff like that. I recommend it. Once again, it's called The Poor Man's Podcast. So that is my shout out. And a shout out to everybody in the Out of Context Podcast family, Ashley Majestics, Dakota, and Becky, and everyone in the past, present, and in the future. Stay tuned, people. The website is going to get better. More shows are coming out, and better technology. So, anything else, Kevin, before we close up this week's shop?
Okay. How about the word of positivity? Just, keep that in our show. Something that I learned for myself is that when I'm not careful, I let my anxiety set the pace of life into a frenetic, mad dash. And controlling over rate or timing is sort of power. And when you start to think about what pace is right for you, you don't have to go 100% it can be empowering. So, you know, think about how quickly you do things. You don't have to do everything all at once. It might not be good for you at all. Just take your time a little bit. And sometimes, you know, the time limit is all in your mind. So please consider that.
Very nice. And I'll reiterate to everyone, life is valuable. When you wake up in the morning, take a few seconds to appreciate what's around you. Take a deep breath. Maybe do 5 push-ups. Maybe do 10 push-ups. Maybe jog in place, get your body going. Wake up, take a swig of water, get your body moving. Appreciate the little things, because you never know when it's time to hop on that train, cross that bridge, tap out, take the pinfall, all the other weird things for dying, which is our main goal in life, is not dying. So be sure you take care of yourself every single day. Appreciate every single day, because you never know, folks. You never know. So, in the interim, Kevin, where can they find you if they want to reach out to you and talk to you?
Facebook is where we usually post first for episodes of Serial Bear. We are on the same, 20 plus pod catches out there, like Podbean, Podomatic, Apple Music, or whatever, to find the show. Every time I think, oh, we should get a new email, but we still possibly have access to Serial and Beer at hotmail.com, but I'm not sure about that. So yeah, it's probably through commenting on our Facebook is maybe the best way. I don't know.
Question mark? And of course, you can find us under walkerac76.podme.com. That's where you can hop on. You can subscribe, listening to all of our shows going all the way back to 2018. We're on, like Kevin said, 21 free different platforms wherever you listen to your podcast, along with the new website of walkeracexperience.com or walkeracexperience.com/mobile. This is where you can find our new website. Listen to the past 10 episodes of our show. We're currently working on getting all of our shows on there from 2018. We have over close to 400 episodes. It's amazing, all the guests that have come and gone, all the people that are still with us, the people that will be with us in the future, and everything in between. So once again, folks, thank you so much for taking the time to download the show, listen to the show on any mobile device, subscribing, commenting, giving that thumbs up, hitting that like button, because once again, without you, there is no us. So for myself, Walker AC, for Kevin Yu, this has been the Walker AC Experience. I have been Walker AC. He has been Kevin. You've been my friends, our family, our loved ones, people who love us, people who hate us, but you're going to listen anyhow, and you're going to continue to talk shit about Panda Express. So until then, folks, we'll talk to you again soon.